What's up, Beardos? You're listening to a stupendously soaring bonus episode of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't really answer your question first by not answering your question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talking about beards.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. And you can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com or just leave a comment below.
In today's bonus episode, we're going to talk about what we've been eating and then ask the question, is Dumbo an animal rights film?
Paul, this is becoming a little bit of a series for us because as I was looking through our old bonus episodes, I realized this is the third bonus ep that we have titled Is Blank an Animal Rights Film? The other one being the last one, Free Birds, but the one before that was Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Interesting. I was going to say if it was Ferdinand, then that would have been three bonus like animated kids episodes, although I guess this isn't an animated movie, but heavily CGI'd bonus episodes.
It is so heavily CGI'd. I had forgotten slash maybe never even knew who the director was. And once I saw that it was Tim Burton, I was like, yeah, that checks out because everything does not look real. But I will say this is the Danny DeVito, Michael Keaton reunion that I've been waiting for ever since they starred in one of my favorite superhero films of all time, Batman Returns.
That's funny. You know, it's funny you said the thing about the heavily CGI'd. When the movie started, I was like, oh, is the entire world CGI? Because I'm pretty sure for like a split second, everything was CGI. But then they transitioned into real people.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll drop a little info that I was going to say for the review, but the entire film was shot on green screen. Even like the outdoor film sections when they're just like outdoors in a field or at a circus, entirely indoors, the entire thing. And it shows.
That sounds horrible. Like for the actors, I feel like that's miserable.
Yeah, I'm sure this was not a quick filming schedule either. So they're just locked inside for very, very long stretches of time, acting with a tennis ball on a stick or whatever.
A tennis ball with big floppy ears.
Yes, exactly. For realism. Paul.
Yes, Andy.
This is a bonus episode, so we just wanted to say thank you. Because if you're listening to this, in theory, it means you have sent some sort of monetary compensation our way at the rate of a dollar or more per month. And it really does keep the podcast going, keeps us going. It's a nice way to gauge how people are reacting to the show as well. So thank you to everyone that is supporting us via this Patreon.
Yes, thank you so much. We truly, truly appreciate it. And so, Andy, even though this is a bonus episode, so not everyone's going to get these good eats, but it seems like you've been eating some good stuff.
Yeah, too much to cram into one regular episode. Paul, I have a really interesting thing that I'm going to be talking about in the main episode that will be coming out shortly. At the very least, we're recording it next, so you have no idea what I'm going to be talking about. But I decided that the other thing is more interesting, and it's going to go in the main episode. But this food right here was so delicious. It was so good. I finally got to check out V Grits in Louisville, Kentucky. And one of the co-owners of this place is Chef Christina Addington. And Paul, I feel like you might not be familiar with this name, but people who watch the show Cutthroat Kitchen might be familiar because Christina was the first vegan chef to win Cutthroat Kitchen with all vegan dishes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was so stoked upon seeing that episode because I love me some Alton Brown and I love that show so very much. So I was excited to see what Christina would be cooking up. And so I went and I got this sandwich that was just called the Gaglione. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, which is their version of a chicken parm sandwich. But what was really cool about it was instead of a fried sort of, you know, vegan mock meat or some kind of seitan patty or something like that, the chicken aspect of it was fried oyster mushrooms.
Ooh.
and fried to perfection. They were so crispy. They were crispy for the entire meal. They did never. They never lost their luster. They never lost that crunch. They were just so perfect. And it was kind of more like an open face sandwich than it was a sandwich. Like there, I had no hope of closing this thing. You can see a photo of it on our Instagram. It was impossibly overstuffed. So I just sort of was cutting pieces of it and ripping off pieces of the bread and eating it all at the same time. But it was these fried oyster mushroom chicken chunks, big pieces, and then they drizzled a very tasty marinara sauce over it and some kind of house-made, more like on the liquidy side, vegan mozzarella and like a Parmesan sprinkled on it, and then they did some freshly torn basil leaves on top of that as well.
Dang.
And it was very delicious. I got a side of mac and cheese with it that was pretty good, though not my favorite part of the meal. My whole experience is kind of weird because I walked in and I was immediately hit with this like wall of sound and all these people wearing name tags. And when my server brought me my food, I was like, is there some kind of meetup happening here? And at first I was like, oh no, is this a vegan meetup? Am I going to like run into someone I know and I'm all like stinky and just wearing flip flops and like a torn t-shirt and all that stuff. And my server informed me that it was a meetup group for singles that are new to Louisville, Kentucky. And it's called New to Lou.
That's cool that they met at a vegan place.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was so the place is basically it's a dual concept. So Vigritz is in there and they're doing the food, and then it's also a bar, and the bar goes by the name False Idol. I assume everything at the bar is all vegan as well, but so it sort of kind of works nicely. And it was a very nice, very well lit, lots of natural light coming in, lots of seating kind of space. So I'm hoping to make a return there before I leave town so I can check out the titular Vigritz, because they have a dish that's like these cheesy grits with a biscuit and some caramelized onions and vegan turkey and all this stuff that sounds really good. So Vigritz, definitely. I'm going to go ahead and say my new favorite spot in Louisville, Kentucky. So
did you get to do a lot of fly on the wall listening in to people's first date conversations?
Paul, I just put on my headphones and watched episodes of Face Off because I did not want to have conversations with anybody. But people seem to be having a good time. They were incredibly loud, and my server was like, yeah, they're the loudest meetup group we've ever had in here. So it was not unnoticed by the servers as well. But they had their smiles on, and they were putting up with it like champs. So definitely a great spot. Can't wait to go back.
Nice, nice. There you go.
Paul, you eat anything delicious recently?
No, not. I'm saving it for the main ep.
Okay. Okay, good.
Mostly because I don't have it on hand at this exact moment.
Fair enough. Well, it'll balance out nicely with what I'm going to be talking about next in the main episode. So with that said, let's get on with it. Let's do one of my favorite things of all time to do, which is tear apart a children's film. And let's get into it with our review of the 2019 version of Dumbo.
Welcome, baby Dumbo. We're all family here, no matter how small.
Something very rare. You have wonder. You have mystique. You have magic. Wow! Come with me. Together, we can soar on an elephant's wings.
So listeners, if you're not familiar, the original Dumbo came out in 1941, all animated film, musical starring some talking animals, although Dumbo actually never talks in that film. But you might be saying, that tale it's a tale as old as time. I'm well familiar with it. This film scraps so much of that original film and changes around quite a bit. So the well, Paul, let me ask you this question. Should we have a spoiler section?
I would say let's give our general feelings about it and then go into the spoilers. Because it is, you know, it is like a plot movie, a plot-driven movie.
Yes. Okay. All right. So the plot synopsis from IMDb: a young elephant whose oversized ears enable him to fly helps save a struggling circus. But when the circus plans a new venture, Dumbo and his friends discover dark secrets beneath its shiny veneer.
Ooh.
Yes. So this film, as I mentioned, directed by Tim Burton, has one hell of a cast: Colin Farrell, Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, Eva Green, Alan Arkin, and introducing Nico Parker and Finley Hobbins as the children. And Paul, as I mentioned, this is not a musical. And there are no talking animals, but there are tons of animated films. And the reason why we wanted to talk about this particular film is because there was an article going around that was declaring this new Dumbo secretly an animal rights film. And that, of course, caught our attention. And we said, we'll be the judge of that. but I guess before we talk about the specific messaging, yeah, let's talk a bit about our feelings on the film, if we would recommend that people go and see it, and then we'll enter into a spoiler section and we'll talk about the themes and the messaging and a lot of which relies on talking about the conclusion of the film. So, Paul, how is your viewing experience for Dumbo? Did you have any connection to the original 1941 film?
I did not. Andy, it might surprise you to know I was not born at that. I was not alive at that point. And to be honest with you, I don't even, I feel like I've probably seen it at some point, but I don't even really remember it, the original one. So my viewing experience, though, I feel like I left the movie being like, okay, like I feel like I didn't waste my time, but it's also not a movie that I'll probably ever see again. I could imagine that people who maybe, Andy, as the listeners may know, we are both husks of the men that we used to be, and I did not cry during this movie. However, I imagine that someone that has possibly more empathy than I maybe could possibly shed some tears, because there are some tear-jerking moments, I would say. But the movie did not really affect me as much as I've heard it has affected some other people. Like when I posted online that I was going to go see it, I had some people message me on Instagram and be like, oh yeah, like my friend saw it and was crying the whole time and stuff like that. And I guess I could understand that, but it just didn't affect me in that way. So it was like an okay movie to me. I know I will probably never, I have no desire to ever see it again.
Fair enough. I share similar sentiments to yours, Paul. I did not enjoy watching this film for a number of reasons. I will say, on a positive note, I think literally the only reason to see this film, Danny DeVito.
Yes.
He is delightful as always. He does the best that he can with the material that he's been given. I think he's definitely the funniest part of the film, and he injects some amount of life into this relatively lifeless film. I did enjoy a few of the smaller moments with Michael Keaton and Alan Arkin. They were nice surprises. Also, I learned that originally Christopher Walken was supposed to play the Alan Arkin role. So that could have been interesting. But overall, there just wasn't anything that really kept me interested in the film. And it was almost like it felt like a chore to watch this for the podcast. You know, normally it's something I'm like, oh, I'm really interested. I wonder what the messaging is. And like pretty quickly, the film had kind of lost me. I feel like this is the least charismatic that I have seen Colin Farrell in forever. Like he was just such a bland, like nothing of a character. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was just the kids were fine, I guess. But there was just really nothing to latch on to. I thought that the CGI animals, particularly the mother elephant Jumbo, I thought that animation was quite impressive. Dumbo, I guess, less so, but maybe because Dumbo was more exaggerated and not just in the ears. Like, Dumbo was more of a caricature of an elephant as opposed to Jumbo, the mother, who was just like, this is supposed to be a realistic elephant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. It just felt weird. It felt like Dumbo was kind of the side character in the story. Like, they took this story. Now, yeah, it's been a very long time since I saw the original. I saw it when it came out in theaters. I was like 3 years old at the time, Paul. So I don't
in
like
1941?
Really... Yes, I don't really remember much of it. You know, it's also some of my old age having to do with it. But it felt like the original was a lot more about Dumbo. And this one was just felt like, I don't know what Tim Burton was thinking, that was like, we need human characters to latch on to. Now, I feel like the humans are not all that sympathetic. Like, yeah, the guy got back from the war and he lost his arm and the mom is dead and all, but it just kind of just felt all super cliche and it was really hard to care about them. And you were supposed to be worried about the plight of Dumbo. And I did not care about the human characters at all. I wished it was just like 2 hours of Danny DeVito interacting with a monkey.
It definitely, this is the type of movie that 10 minutes into the movie, like as soon as the characters are introduced, you're like, oh, okay, I know what's about to happen. It, like you know what's going to happen for the rest of the hour and a half or whatever it was, like 10, 20 minutes into the movie. And you're like, okay, I've seen this movie before. I know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Very predictable.
It's painfully predictable. It's painfully by the numbers. It makes you watch it and go, why the hell did they make this movie? Like, what more new, interesting things did they have to say? I mean, obviously, there was the whole cash grab aspect of it. And from what I gather, having not seen the original in quite some time, there is more of a straight up, it's bad for elephants to be in the circus message than in the original. But I don't know. Before we go on to spoilers, you know, I'll just say, I feel like this film is kind of a waste of time on everyone's part, and I wish I didn't have to see it. And I'm sad that I proposed it as a bonus episode, Paul.
You know, it wasn't the worst movie we've watched, Andy. I'll say that. And I got to eat popcorn, so that was nice.
Yeah, but it wasn't even like so bad that it was like fun to pick apart. You know, it was just like a competently made film that was painfully uninteresting.
Yeah. Yeah, I will agree with that.
And I was sitting in a theater all by myself, so it was like really hard not to just like check my phone and like
I was also sitting in a theater all by myself, but then at one point in the movie, I like heard a person coming in and was just like, "Tim? Tim?" and looked down at my aisle because it's very dark inside and was just looking right at me and going, "Tim? Tim?"
And like started walking. The name is Dumbo.
And started walking towards me and then was like, oh, sorry, and then just left.
Did the person think you were Tim Burton?
Probably. That must have been it.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, the showing that I went to was at 8:30, so it wasn't particularly late, but I guess it was a theater kind of more on the outskirts of Louisville. And so when I got out, I think I was in like the last, you know, round of showings for the evening at this place. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a single human being, including any employees, a human being or an employee, Paul. I didn't see anyone from I like went to the bathroom. Then I walked out through the main lobby. I kind of like wandered around looking at the posters for a little bit and then left. And it was just like a total ghost town. And it was such a bizarre experience because I've had that happen before. If I get out of a movie that's at like 12:30 or something, but this was just like there was like five cars in the parking lot and the parking lot was full when I went in. It was very bizarre.
All the employees were probably like, oh, no one's going to see Dumbo. We can all just take off now.
Probably. Okay. So with that hearty endorsement, I still think that there's probably plenty to dig into in terms of what the messaging of this film is. I'm sure some people enjoyed this and more people will see it. And, you know, especially, you know, people with children are kind of wondering if they think it's suitable for their kids. So let's go ahead with the spoiler section for Dumbo 2019, starting right now.
Hey, come on. I haven't seen it yet. It doesn't have anything to do with fresh.
So let's talk animals, Andy. Let's talk animals, because I had higher hopes at the beginning of the movie that this was going to be an animal rights type movie, because the first scene that you see Jumbo, the mom, you see that kind of like the mean trainer that also just gets inexplicably crushed to death for apparently no reason. But
a thing fell.
No, but like, why? It had no consequence to the movie that his character just died. It's almost as if I feel like that actor was like, oh, shoot, I actually have a prior engagement after I filmed one scene of the movie. So let's write this character off really quickly. But like, it shows him with like, I don't know if they're training tools, but it's some sort of like evil looking weapon to kind
the,
of
the bullhook.
Yeah. The bullhook to corral Jumbo. And when I saw that and it like infers that he's using it on the mother, on Jumbo. But it doesn't actually show it, which I was like, okay, I get why they're not showing it because this is, I'm assuming, a PG movie. But when I saw that, I was like, okay, I kind of see what they're pushing for right now. And like you said, Andy, I think this movie does push that it's like elephants do not belong in the circus, period. I do think it's kind of pushing that. It always the imagery when it shows the mother is always like a jail. Like she's behind bars. It's always, she's like peering out through like the tiny window with the bars on it, whether that's in the beginning when she's in the cart or even at the end when she's kind of like being used for the like nightmare animal showcase. It's like she's still behind bars. So like they're always showing her with that kind of imagery in mind. So I do agree with what you said before. I think you said this before that it does seem to be pushing the message that elephants should not be in the circus, but mm-hmm. I don't think it really did a great job of pushing a general animal rights message.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what the film did well was everything that you were saying. I think it sort of accurately portrayed the horror of captivity, at least for the elephants. And I like that they showed that these animals have emotions, that they have bonds with their loved ones. You know, the introduction to Dumbo is Jumbo hiding Dumbo. And you hear stories about that. You've heard stories about, you know, the cow that gave birth to a calf secretly and then was like hiding the calf in the woods from the farmers. And, you know, these are like stories that are out there in the world, and this sort of depicted or reflected, I guess, in the Dumbo Jumbo bond. That's fun to say. And so I thought that they did that pretty well. And I think that obviously, you know, in the conclusion of the film, Dumbo is free and they say we'll never have a circus with animals in captivity, which they immediately don't follow through with. But like I thought that was good. And I think that, you know, you could make the argument that basically any animated children's film with animals does the same thing, in that they give animals personalities, they give them emotions and fears and hopes and dreams and all of those things. The difference here is that I thought, like, at least with Jumbo, the elephant, you know, was so realistically rendered that I think it would be easier to make that connection to actual animals in the real world. You know, that's one of my complaints about the last review we did, Free Birds, which was the animated turkeys, and they just didn't really look like turkeys. They look like incredibly, they look like if, you know, the hand drawing where like you trace your hand and color it in as a turkey. It was like that level of turkey, but even those hand turkeys look more like actual turkeys than the turkeys that were in Free Birds. So I think it'd be really easy to not make those connections. Whereas at this film, you're like, wow, these animals look so incredibly realistic. I wish, and I actually read this in the IMDb trivia, so who knows if it's real or not, but that originally Dumbo was like much more photorealistic, like probably much closer to Jumbo, but they decided to make Dumbo more of a caricature of an elephant, you know, with the exaggerated eyes and head shape and all of those things. So I almost wish that they had gone the more realistic route for Dumbo, because that would have helped people make more of that connection as well. So I thought all of those things were generally done well, and I liked that. I think that this certainly could be a film that is used to promote to condemn the captivity of elephants, but I don't think that it really sends an animal rights message. I think it sends like sort of a speciesist, this animal is worthy of protection message. But it doesn't portray this message of liberation for all animals, as laid out in the final moments of the conclusion of the film.
Yeah. Like it's certainly one of the heaviest plot elements or themes throughout the entire movie was the separation of Dumbo and his mother. Like that was a key element throughout the entire film. And And I do think that that is good to for children to because I think that they can definitely empathize with that. And what they didn't do, though, which I was surprised that they didn't do, is they didn't really focus on any. I mean, you were pointing this out. They didn't really focus on any other animals, but they certainly had opportunities to. At the end, when they're going into that like nightmare land, I don't remember what it's called, so I'm going to keep making up names for it.
I think Scary it was World. Nightmare Island.
Nightmare Island. Okay.
So you were close. Two letters off, Paul.
When they're going to Nightmare Island, like they show there are other animals there, and you do. They don't focus on this, but you know, you get, as the viewer, you get the impression that these are animals that are being like painted, and they have like different kind of costumes on to make them seem scarier. And then you realize that the last one they show, the elephant, is Jumbo, is the mom. And I think they definitely could have gone one step further and also shown like a quick scene of, oh, hey, all these other really scary looking animals, just like Jumbo, the mom, all these other scary animals are also, you know, parents, or they're not actually angry. They're just like a product of this place that they're being put in. You know, it's like they easily could have showed one of those animals like turning around and, like you said, Andy, like hiding one of their children or something like that, that would have then let the viewer connect that, oh, it's not just elephants, it's all the animals that are being held here, you know? But they didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think there was a lot of missed opportunities in this film. I think that, like, let's just talk about the ending, right? The ending happens, and the evil circus has been burned to the ground, and everyone's like
explodes.
Had this. Yes, as circuses do, have been known to do. And then everything's sort of back to a better version of how it was in the beginning. The Medici brothers circus is now the Medici family circus. And they say that they have a circus where no animals will ever be held in captivity, except immediately they then show Colin Farrell's character riding horses. Yeah. And that's the other thing, is this film, I was under the impression, I was told, or at least I had sort of gleaned from people that were promoting this as this big animal rights film, that they didn't actually use any live animals in the film. Mm-hmm. And I think that even that might not necessarily mean the animals were not used, because obviously these animations of animals are often being tracked with live animals at some point to put into the computer models and all of that, which is, I guess, significantly better than using the live animals, but it still is a use of animals. So, but then we got to the point where it was like, oh, those are real horses that are being used. They're really being ridden, and they are not CG. And so that was something I was like, okay, so they are using animals for entertainment. And I guess I feel a little weird having, well, I used my AMC A-list, so I didn't technically pay for it, but I did add to their tally of how many people saw it, I guess. And then also, I thought that the boa constrictor that was used was computer animated, but then I had read that actor actually did have the boa constrictor around his neck in those scenes. I think there was moments when it was enhanced by computer graphics when he was like squeezing. But they did actually use a real boa constrictor as well. So they used real animals in the film. And then in the conclusion, when they're like, no animal should ever be held in captivity, Colin Farrell's riding the horse. They also show that they're actually using fish in the fish tank that the mermaids are in. So it's kind of like, oh, so you don't actually mean what you said? Because clearly you're still holding animals in captivity and using them for entertainment purposes.
And also it's like, I don't know, that whole conclusion was like, oh, it's actually not like every man for themselves, every person for themselves. It's we're all a family. Like that was the resolution to all that. But it's like, why did I care about that? Like there wasn't like that was never really like, you know, Danny DeVito's character never. I mean, he didn't betray them in the sense of like going behind their back. He like thought that what he was doing would be better for everybody, like, you know. It's like he was always trying to be look out for everyone, so it's not like he had this turn in his character where he was evil or he was selfish and looking out for himself, and now he's like, oh, actually we're all family. It's like he was always kind of looking out for everyone. So I don't know, like you said this before, Andy, but it's like, I was watching that. I was like, why do I care about any of this stuff? They're basically in the same position that they were before.
Yeah. You know, that you mentioned that, it is kind of weird because this, the tale of Dumbo is this tale of like this misfit elephant that's kind of, you know, learning to realize that they're special. And this film kind of reminded me of that saying that's like, deviation from the norm will be punished except where exploitable or whatever. Kind of like the whole reindeer, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer moral of the story. And it's kind of the same thing. It's like, oh, this weird freak elephant is horrible. Oh, wait, we can actually make money off this elephant. It was kind of like a tale of capitalism in that regard. But also, Paul, this is where the film fell apart for me. I'm being kind of like scatterbrained all over the place here. The film lost all credibility when I'm supposed to believe that people think that this adorable elephant with giant ears is like a freak and no one's going to want to see this elephant. And I'm like, this is the fucking cutest elephant I have ever seen in my GD life. And we're supposed to think that audiences are going to be like, oh, that's not a real elephant. And they're going to laugh. You know, it's like, what? No, that thing... That Dumbo would get 17 billion YouTube views for being the freaking cutest baby elephant anyone's ever seen before.
In 1940.
Like, I was just so not on board with the film as soon as that's how they were presenting it. Because like in the original film, Dumbo is not made fun of by the humans. Dumbo is made fun of by the other elephants. And I guess that's maybe more relatable because like, you're not like us. You're not like you're supposed to be. And maybe they wouldn't find those qualities endearing. But this one, the fact that Danny DeVito, who is like, pedals in freak shows, like pedals in, look at this oddity, look at this mermaid, doesn't see the value in an elephant with these gigantic ears. Like, it just doesn't make any sense, Paul.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I was literally about to bring up that point too, that as well, when that happened, I was like, what's happening right now? They are reacting so disgusted by this adorable elephant with like anime these huge anime eyes and these giant ears. And then because they try to hide the ears and they're like wheeling him around in the baby car, and then something happens, he sneezes or something, and then everyone sees his big ears and everyone just is like laughing, like making fun of him. I was like, that's not how people like if I saw like a silly looking animal, I wouldn't laugh at that animal as if I was making fun of the animal. I was like, that animal wouldn't know that I'm making fun of them. Like, it's like these snotty kids being like, ha, 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 like, you freak. And I'm like, what? It's like, who talks to animals like that?
Yeah, that's just, it did not ring true whatsoever. And then also, like, sort of like plot wise, I know we're getting away from like the theming, but like plot wise, it felt like they were setting it up to be this thing about like accepting who you are, regardless of, you know, whatever quote unquote imperfections you have, because they have Colin Farrell coming back from the war with no arm. And it feels like they're setting that up to be some like parallel story and journey. But he like Colin Farrell like never struggles with the fact that he doesn't really have an arm. It's just played for laughs with the weird appendages that's like sewn for him by the ringmaster. It's like never a thing, and it's kind of like, why did you do that at all if that's not like a plot point? And it just felt like they're setting up something for a specific conclusion that doesn't happen, and then when the conclusion is like, oh, we're all family and some animals can be free, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I guess.
That's funny that you just mentioned that, because I do agree that I like with the whole thing with him coming back from the war only having one arm. It's like, I did watch the movie. I was like, what were they trying to do with that? And Andy, I do think you're right that I bet you that like in some version of the script at some point, they were going to try to draw some parallels. And then like that got scrapped or something, because otherwise it doesn't seem like, cause they bring it. It's like the first thing that they bring attention to in the movie. It's like the very first thing that happens and the kids like bring attention to it. And it's just like a thing. You're like, oh, this is going to be a thing. And it's never a thing.
Well, I can tell you what they're trying to do with that, Paul. They're trying to spend that Disney money, baby. gotta fulfill that budget. Yeah, it's weird. You're right. That's like the thing that everyone's like staring at him, and he's, you think maybe he's a little self-conscious about it, and then it's just like nothing at all. And I guess there's something to be said for just like normalizing the fact that there's someone without an arm, and that there, it's not a plot point. Like, it's just like, here's just someone that has this particular ailment, and it's not a plot point. But it feels like they drew enough attention to it that it should have been, or they should have maybe just not done it at all. I don't know. It just felt like there were so many little things that didn't quite connect in the film. Yet at the same time, it felt so predictable. And it felt like if you're going to be predictable, you might as well like really hammer it home with all the really predictable stuff. And I guess it makes it more glaring when they don't follow through with the things that you would expect them to follow through in a sloppy fashion like they did.
Yeah. Yeah. So Andy, like people, it seems like people have been saying that this is an animal rights movie or this has heavy animal rights themes, but like, I don't really expect this to convince anyone to like consider in a meaningful way animals more than just like, oh yeah, you're right, elephants shouldn't be in circus. Like, do you think that this has any possibility of being more than that?
I mean, I think more than anything, it's just sort of a reflection of the changing times. I think it's just a reflection of the fact that, you know, Ringling Brothers got rid of their elephants, and then they just sort of went down the crapper, and that there are certain animals that are starting to gain public favor. They're starting to move closer to the category of like dogs and cats, and like more revered and maybe slightly more deserving of comfort and respect. You know, just the way that I would say like orcas are at this point, they're kind of slowly getting pushed over into that category. And I feel like it's more a reflection of that than it is any specific agenda. It's not like this came out 20 years ago and Ringling had to like pull out all the stops to do a PR campaign against it. It was like, eh, Ringling's dead. And, you know, it just felt more like it was just a reflection of the changing times more than it was anything that had any sort of activist message or agenda to it.
And I also, I just feel like that the vague, somewhat animal rightsy message that it did have, it was just, I feel like it was just done so lazily too. It's like when, you know, it's like we're supposed to believe at the very end of the movie that all the like the, all the good the good circus people there, they're releasing the elephants, they're getting the elephants back to the wild, and you're like, yes, like they're great people, they're doing the right thing. But it's like the whole movie they spend exploiting Dumbo, and it's not until like they had no problem when Dumbo was in the original circus, in Danny DeVito's circus. It's like they have no problem with Dumbo being there and making them money, and the fact that he's missing his mom isn't an issue for them until it then be, they go to the new place and until they all get fired, and then it is an issue for them. And they're like, you know what? We do need to reunite. Like, it's like they suddenly care so much about reuniting Dumbo with his mom, but they didn't care at all about that when Dumbo was in the original film, when they were in the original circus, you know? It like doesn't really, like their character progression doesn't really make sense to me. It's like, why do they all of a sudden care about this animal that they did not before?
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, there wasn't any real, as far as I can remember, any real reason for anyone to have a change of heart. It basically just felt like the movie was like, because the plot demands it, everyone's going to make this change now. It didn't feel earned at all.
Well, like, when in like the one of the last scenes after all the circus people get fired, they all like, they don't go to see Colin Farrell, they go to see Dumbo, and they're like, we just wanted to say goodbye to him one last time, as if Dumbo was this like super meaningful part of their life. But yeah, he wasn't that, and like the film didn't portray him as that, you know?
Yeah, and Colin Farrell's character is the one that they had a connection to and went away to the war, and they're all happy to see him again, and they've been raising his kids, and you know, he's the one that's a part of the family, but instead they go see Dumbo. It just felt really contrived. It just felt like, again, oh, we need some emotional moment right here, so we're gonna all go see Dumbo, and Dumbo's gonna look sad. It was all just felt like it was like because the plot, you know, not it was not earned at all. The film, you know, did not give us anything that made us go, oh, yeah, that all makes sense why people all of a sudden have affection for Dumbo.
Andy, can I tell you my least favorite part of the movie? The part that made me physically upset. It was when Dumbo is in the new circus and the announcer comes out and says, "Let's get ready for Dumbo."
And then,
as if that wasn't like the worst joke of all time. And I was sitting there like, who is this joke for? Like, this is not a funny joke. And like kids aren't getting this and adults are going to be shaking their heads. As if that wasn't enough, he does the same exact joke a second time, like 2 minutes later. And I was like, oh my God, this is so bad.
Paul, I could not disagree with you more. I stood up and cheered when that joke happened.
The second time, like when they made the same bad joke two times.
Well, the film like does the same thing twice a few times. I think most notably it does the, oh, Dumbo's trapped in some sort of elevated situation and he's going to fall and get the feather at the last second and then swoop up. It's like they did that exact trick twice in a row and you're like, oh, okay. It's like, oh, what was it? It was the most recent Jurassic World, right? Where like T-Rex like sweeps in and saves the day like two or three times. You're like, okay, why are you going to keep doing the same trick over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. It's like we already saw the moment where there's the high stakes and Dumbo catches the feather at the last second. Like you don't need to replay this almost, you know, beat for beat replay of this action. It just felt like the film just didn't have any interesting ideas and was like, ah, whatever, let's do the same thing again. And then clearly whoever came up with the let's get ready for Dumbo thing was so pleased with themselves. They lobbied for it to be a second time. And the second time, I think you mostly hear it more than you see it, right? And it felt like they're like, we need to punch up this moment. Yeah, let's put that again in the background. It's going to be great.
God, I hated that, Andy. I hated it so much.
I loved it so much because I at first I was like, is that the guy? And then I was like, because at first, I like, you know, I'm not like a huge watcher of boxing, right? That's the thing. And then I was like, it sounds kind of like that guy. And he's like, I'd be like, it'll be so funny if he says, let's get ready to Dumbo. And then he said, let's get ready for Dumbo or whatever. And I was like, it's actually the guy. Oh, my God. And I just feel like whoever came up with it was so fucking pleased with himself for that little thing. I just loved it. My least favorite moment was the naming of Dumbo, when like the sign, the letter flips down. I just like rolled my eyes so hard at that. Yeah. I hate when there's like unnecessary explanations of things in film. I don't know. Did you see the most recent, that's Solo, A Star Wars Story?
I didn't, but I've heard about that specific scene.
God, it's the worst thing. I mean, I enjoyed the film fine. It was a fun action film. But when they explain how Han Solo gets his name, like, I just went, ugh. So annoying.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
I did like the moment where Colin Farrell says to Danny DeVito, "You're not serious," and he says, "I am on occasion."
Can I tell you my all-time favorite line in the movie?
I wonder if it's my favorite line, but let's
see. It has to be. It's when
is it Michael Keaton?
When Michael Keaton is in the office with Danny DeVito, and the monkey is trying to get out of the desk drawer, and Danny DeVito keeps shoving it closed, and Michael Keaton goes, "Is that a monkey in your desk?" And Danny DeVito says, "Only for emergency purposes."
That line was great, but my favorite Michael Keaton line was when he said, "Why are there children in my office?" Paul, at Vegan Street Fair, I met a beard dog, totally blanking on who it was now because I met so many, but they were with their child and we were like chatting, and at one point they said, "Sorry, I know you're anti-child." And I was like, I'm not like anti-child, I'm just not good with children, nor do I want them.
Did the parents say that, or did the children say that?
The parents said that. And after they left, my friend Sarah was like, "That dude totally just called you out."
That's so funny.
So I guess I'm just living up to my brand with loving that line, but Yeah, Paul, I don't know. I'm sorry that I brought up that we had to watch this film for a bonus episode, but I'm glad we're getting some laughs out of it.
It seemed like it seemed more promising. I don't even know if it was promising, but the I feel like people, it had caused more of a stir than now seeing it than I expected it would have, you know? That was a weirdly constructed sentence.
Say that again.
I feel like it caused more of a stir amongst especially like vegan groups than I think it warrants.
Yeah, I don't think it totally killed it or did well, I should say, at the box office. Let me look.
Well, judging by the fact that two out of two times that we've seen it, there's been just us.
Yeah, you know, I was worried about seeing it. I was like, oh boy, it's going to be full of children. and I can't, you know, you can't say anything if it's children being loud at a children's film. I'm the one interrupting their experience.
Yeah.
So it's like I have to just kind of go. The original Dumbo made $1.6 million at the box office. I wonder if that's by their standards. Let's see
that
here.
That can't be. That would be like $1 billion.
The Dumbo 2019 domestic as of April 10th is just under $80 million, and the production budget was $170 million.
Oh, no.
So
Dumbo's not getting a sequel.
Yeah, thank God. well, let's see. Foreign, it's at $139 million. So I mean, it's going to break even and maybe a little over, but hopefully it doesn't mean a sequel. I don't think it's performed particularly well. I believe it has a 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it seems like
it's
we are
generous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the new Hellboy, Paul, has 11%.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
That means Dumbo was significantly better than Hellboy.
Which is funny because, like, Hellboy is like, it's like finally a hard R Hellboy. And I'm like, where's that hard R Dumbo? That could have spiced it up a little bit.
Well, that certainly probably would have been a stronger animal rights movie. I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Probably. They would have shown that use of the bullhook. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything else to say about this, Ed.
Yeah, I think those are all my thoughts. I think, you know, wrapping it up, no, I don't think it's an animal rights film. I think you could do worse. You know, it certainly shows Captivity of Elephants as being bad. But as far as anything that pushes anything like a vegan agenda, that it's certainly far from that. And it certainly, to me, it's just sort of like a speciesist. It's a single issue campaign film, Paul.
Mm-hmm. As we all know Tim Burton to be, a single issue campaign vegan.
You know, I was also reading the IMDb trivia that the costume designer refused to make any costumes that had black and white stripes because that was too much of a trope of Tim Burton films.
Was he pushing for it?
I don't know. But apparently the designer had to refuse, so perhaps.
Mayhaps.
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of you out there want to get your 2 cents in, please feel free to email us thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. Comment on, I'm sure we're going to post this on the Instagram or even just on the Patreon. You can comment below where you are listening to it at this very moment. So let us know what you thought. Let us know if you thought we got it right with this review. Let us know if you thought we were completely off. Let us know if you enjoyed it. Tell us your favorite Danny DeVito line.
They were also good.
They were good.
I also wanted more. Was it Rongo was the strong man? I thought he was great when he was playing the drums and the trumpet and the kazoo all at the same time.
And yeah, and he was like the accountant as well, I think.
Yeah, they all wear lots of hats.
All right, so yeah, Andy, you got anything else you want to say?
That's it. Don't see this movie.
Yeah.
Wait for it to show up for free somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But we'll still love you even if you do go see it.
Yeah, you know, it might keep some kids entertained for a while. Paul, I mean, I know we're wrapping it up, but I feel like I did feel emotionally manipulated by this film at times. Whenever Dumbo was in peril, I was like really stressed out for Dumbo. Like I thought they did a good job of giving Dumbo emotions. But at the same time, I was also like pissed off that this bad movie was making me feel something. And I was just like annoyed that I was being stressed out more than I was like, ah, yes, work your magic on me, film. So Yeah, I did not enjoy this experience at all, top to bottom, with the exception of Danny DeVito and one or two lines from Alan Arkin and Michael Keaton.
Who's Alan Arkin? Is he the bald henchman guy?
He was the, like, the wealthy money guy.
Oh, the bank guy. Bankman.
Bank guy. Bankman. Yeah, Bankman. H.R. Okay. Bankman.
All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, Paul. I hate seeing Dumbo, but I love hearing you say the following seven words.
We are the Bearded Vegan, signing off. We're Dumbo now.
Dumbo was more of a caricature of an element. Then they made the decision to sort of make Dumbo more of a caricature of an element of a... Oh, there, I said it again.